My name is Alex Bakunin, and you're listening to Incarcerated, a podcast documenting the experiences of people who have done time in jail, prison, or juvenile hall. In the second episode of Incarcerated, I talk with Rob Calvert, a man who was sentenced to 9 months and did his time in the Ventura County jail system. This is his story. Enjoy. All right, I'm here with Rob Calvert. How are you?
Doing good today. Sunday, I did yard work. I feel good.
How many times have you been to jail?
Incarcerated through the counties? Well, let's be clear. I've only ever been to county jails. I've never been to actual prison.
Okay.
But I'd say, 9 or 10 times, which is really, I mean, it's easy when you mess up really good, and then in Ventura County, they put you on probation. And here's the bottom line. If you're not living a clean and serene, sober, whatever word you want to use, lifestyle, right? And you're on probation, you're just going to keep screwing up. So it's not hard to go to jail that many times when your probation terms are immense. So
what was your longest stint?
The longest one was a 9-month stint at the Ventura County jail system. I was actually, you know, it's funny, I was on a violation of probation, and luckily for me, I got to go to work furlough. That's back when they used to let you actually go to work, but you were incarcerated. That program is no longer, I don't believe. I mean, the building shut down. But I was in there on a my second DUI. And I was in work furlough, and then I had the great idea that I could use drugs while in this detention facility, because I met some people who were dealing, and I got popped. They raided our room because they smelled a bunch of like pot, and I was doing like meth from some guy who was bringing it in. He was working with apparently the Mexican mafia, but he was bringing stuff in, and I was like, this is great. I can go to work. I'm high. I'm quote unquote incarcerated. And they were all smoking weed one night, and they raided the whole day room. And they tested us. So when the test came back, I mean, my test was just clearly this guy's a meth head. So listen how this works. I'm on a probation violation, incarcerated in a county detention center, and they've just brought my urine test back, and I'm using in their facility. So granted to say, my probation officer was not happy. And I went on to do a 9-month stint at, they moved me from Camarillo back to the Ventura County jail system briefly, and then I did the rest of my time at Todd Road.
So you got arrested again. I mean, you basically got arrested again while in jail.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was completely lame. And I was like, what am I doing? And you know, when I got into when I finally got to Todd Road, of course, everybody wants to know why you're there. And I explained to them what happened. And they're like, oh, dude, you're done. You're done, bro. You're going upstate. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, man, you better get some letters together and some paperwork and start doing push-ups and this and that. I mean, I was terrified, you know.
So take me back to when you were about to get sentenced. How are you feeling when you were in that courtroom? Like, what were your emotions like?
I want to lie and say that I gave up, but I really didn't. It's those moments in life when life knocks you down so hard that the only thing you can do is look up because you're so down. And I was down. I was really down, but I could only look up and think to myself, man, this is it. I am done messing around, and I need to do something here. And so my feelings were a sense of hope, a little bit of hope that this will be over someday. I will make it right with the county. I will make it right with my, I didn't know how, you know, I wasn't real familiar with 12-step programs at the time. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't necessarily a religious person. I grew up in the churches, but I just knew deep down that that was going to be something that was going to be changed, life changing for me, because I was not going to let that take me down. Cause I just felt like there was much more for me. Like life had way more in store than me. Like I had just enough ego, right, to say I'm better than this.
Rob was sentenced to 9 months and did his time at the Todd Road Jail facility located in Santa Paula, California.
I don't know how much times have changed, and I know this is 20 plus years ago, but so I've heard that the county jail are a lot more segregated than prison is. Was that the case back then? Do white people stay with white people, black people stay with black people, and Mexicans stay with Mexicans?
You definitely felt segregation, absolutely. You know, you were schooled. If you didn't know, you were schooled pretty quick. Depending on what day room you were in, because there were different divisions, you know, as you know, for those who don't know, there's a colored band you have to wear, and that colored band basically breaks down what kind of charges that you're on, you know. So if you're in a school program on a very minor charge, people tend to not really care, you know what I mean? I mean, you still, I'll be honest, when it comes down to, you know, chow time, you sit with your people. You just do. But, you know, once the food's over, everyone's congregating and talking. I don't know what it's like in other places, but I was gray band, so that was a felony. Yeah, race and segregation was definitely at the forefront. But people tended to relax a little bit when it was game time or somebody wanted to play, you know, cards or something. It seemed to be more pronounced during mealtime. You would never sit with an African-American, or, you know, you would sit with, if you were white, you would sit with the Peckerwoods. And if you were, you know, if you were Asian, you were screwed, because there's very few Asians there. There were, that's how it was. You kind of sat by yourself, you know, but. Interesting time. Oh, and this one time, it was interesting. There was this dispute between the one of the homeboys, a Sereno, and a black guy. And there was going to be a fight, and it didn't just break out. Like, we were prepped for the fight, and everyone's like, you know, we'll make sure that, you know, you're on this side. So, like, the Mexicans and the whites would fight together against whoever else was in there. And, or no, it was backwards. Like, if you were white, you had to fight with the Mexicans, something like that. So finally the day came where the fight broke out, and I was playing cards. I was playing 21 with this dude, this Mexican guy from Colonia. We were just playing cards, and then quote unquote, the fight broke out, and we suddenly had to be enemies. It was really funny, because we were just like chilling. He's like, oh, here you go. Oh, well, the fight. And he looked at me, and he took a punch. He's like, come on, hit me. So I hit him. Yeah, because we're fighting, you know, for the races. And it was stupid. But yeah, we had to like play this part, you know. That's just so, it's beyond me. But that's just how it is there, you know. And as soon as the fight was over, and then him and I went back to playing cards, you know, a couple of days later. Because they, you know, when you fight, they just lock you down. They lock down the whole place for like 3 or 4 days. And you sit in your cell for all day.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so strange. Did you have a bunk mate in your cell, or were you all by yourself?
Always had a bunkie. Always did. The only time I didn't was that when I was in solitary confinement. I did 10 days in the hole, as they say, and you're by yourself.
Okay. We can't, we have to end on solitary confinement. Talk about that.
Well, what happened, I was watching a show on TV. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was one of those lazy kind of days. A lot of guys were just in their cells reading books, and some guys were programming by walking around, and every day is like that, really. So there he was watching TV, and this very large man, and I'll call him Randy, okay? Very large white guy. His hands were so big that he had this ring on that they couldn't get off during processing, so they let him keep it on. He was easily 6'4", 6'5", large guy. And we're sitting there watching TV, and he picked up the remote control and he changed the channel. And I said, "What are you doing, dude? I was totally watching that." He's all, "Fuck off. I want to watch something else." And without even thinking about it, like, it just came out of my mouth. Like, have you ever said anything where it just came out and you immediately regretted what you just said?
Yep.
So he takes the remote. He says that. And I said to him, "Man, you're a real punk-ass bitch." Ugh. And I wish I could have swallowed those words, because now he had to defend his ego, jail ego, whatever. And he called me out. Remember, at the time, I was still pretty small from a lot of meth use. He was large, easily three times bigger than me. And he's calling me out. He's making a scene. He's like, "Let's go." I'm trying to ignore him. People are starting to, like, get out of their beds, and they're starting to peek out into the day room to see what's going on. And I kept ignoring him. And then he finally walked over to my bunk. And these bunks have a big drawer underneath the bed where you can put all your commissary, you know, your special, you know, your paperwork and your shampoo, whatever. He took this whole thing out, picked it up, and he threw it all in the middle of the day room where all my stuff went flying on the floor. You can't ignore that. I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. This big, not big, this veterano, like hardcore, like homie, pulled me to the side. He goes, "Check this out, man." He's like, "You better take care of that right now." He's like, "Are you going to be a punk?" I go, "What does that mean?" "What do you mean?" He's like, "You need to go take care of business." He's like, "Just go up there and handle it." I go, "Talk to him?" He goes, "No, man." He goes, "Take care of your shit." And you're confronted with, like, you better find some courage real quick, or that's it. You're going to be the punk of the day room or the punk of jail, and people know that they can step on you. And somehow I mustered up enough courage to walk all the way across the day room as he stood there leaning up against some doorway, like laughing almost, like, "You're going to do something to me, punk?" And I walked up and I wound up and I had to reach up practically on my tippy toes to crack this guy right in his jaw. Boom! Which was a joke, because he barely moved when my fist connected to his jaw. Barely moved, looked at me, smiled, and began to destroy me. This guy got his hands around my head, and he was using his knee as this, like, punching bag in my head, just bam, bam. And every time he would grab my neck and take his fist, remember that ring I told you about? The ring, every time the ring made contact with my head, I'd black out for a second. I'd feel him wind up. I'd get hit. I'd black out again for a second. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna die right now. Luckily, though, because day rooms are easily watched, how the quadrants are set up, they hit the bells, "Everybody down," and they lock down the whole place. They ran in there, locked down the whole place, and even though, in a sense, he started it, I was fighting, he was fighting, and when you're fighting, there's no tolerance for that, and you have to go to the hole. And I sat in there for 10 days, and it may not seem like much, but you lose your mind at about day four. You're just, there's no one to talk to. There's nothing to do. You don't go out. Nothing. You get fed. I can't even tell you what kind of food they gave you. It was a very terrible time. But here's the takeaway message. When 10 days was up and I got back into the day room, no one fucked with me. No one. People respected me. You got heart, kid. You got heart. You know, the other guy wasn't let back in our day room, but people who were still there were like, right on, man. Good. And I felt like, yeah, fuck yeah. I earned my place here, you know. But I never got into another fight again after that.
Perfect way to end it. Thank you so much for doing this.
Rob is 24 years clean and has not been incarcerated in over 25 years. Thanks for listening to Incarcerated. If you enjoyed the episode, give me a rating on any of the podcast services. You can also follow Incarcerated on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until the next time, be good and don't be incarcerated.